I hope you'll join me by opening your Bible to the book of Hebrews. Once again, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Several weeks ago, we began with chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 1, and we would like to continue and bring to a finality this series on faith this morning, because that's basically what the 11th chapter of Hebrews is about, faith. And I want to read for your hearing, beginning with verse number 8, read down through verse number 17. As a matter of fact, we'll make that verse 19. Hebrews 11, beginning with verse 8, and reading down through verse number 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. Now let me pause just a moment to give you some clarification on verse number 9. He had never been to Canaan before, so he's going to be dwelling in a strange land. But notice, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. That means Isaac and Jacob were still in his loins. They had not been born. But he speaks of them as a part of this journey. Verse 10, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they'd been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, and whence also he received him in a figure. We're going to be talking about Abraham this morning and how it relates to this subject of faith that is set forth so clearly in this chapter of God's blessed word. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, verse 1 says, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the title deed. It is that guarantee of the things that God promises us actually will take place. We believe that God said it. We believe that God said it, and we act like it. It affects us. It's not just an empty believism. It's not just a hollow statement we make, or I believe in God, I believe the Bible, and I believe this. And unless it changes your life, and unless it produces a change in your character and in your conduct and causes you to want to serve this Lord, you really don't believe it. Belief is a very strong word in God's book. It is the word pistis. It is translated faith. It is translated believe. Paul said to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And then, of course, after the introductory statement, we have person after person after person their names, their proper names are given to us of men who exercise faith. They're in verse 4, by faith, Abel. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch. Verse number 7, by faith, Noah. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham. And even includes his wife, Sarah, in verse number 11. When you go on down to verse number 20, by faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. But if you read verse 23, he's not talking so much about Moses as he is the parents of Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months. He didn't hide himself. His parents hid him because they believed God. And they had to by faith. You do pick up on Moses in verse 24. By faith, Moses. Verse 31, by faith, Rahab, of all people, Rahab the harlot, by faith. And then verse number 32, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, Samuel, and on it goes. It tells us in verse number 13, these all died in faith. Now, the only people who will ever die in faith are those who live by faith. Not everybody who dies, dies in faith. There are only two kinds of dead people, those who died in the faith and those who died without the faith. And you and I have a whole lot to do, my dear friends, with the accuracy of that statement in that if you ever hope to die in the faith, you're going to have to live by faith. Living by faith. And that's what these people have done that are listed for us in this 11th chapter. Abel had been taught by his father the only way to worship God was through a blood sacrifice. And he offered a blood sacrifice. His brother Cain did not. Abel walked by faith. Cain did not. Enoch, we talked about Enoch walking with God and was not, for God took him. He had this testimony that he pleased God. He walked. It was a walk of faith. And then Brother Noah came along. By faith, Noah is a work of faith. God told him to build an ark. He had never heard of an ark before. Never seen an ark before. God told him it was going to rain. He had never seen rain before. God told him a lot of things, but he believed it because God said it. God said it. So you see, these all died in the faith. Now, this definition of faith is believing what God says and acting like it. It's reinforced in verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. They had never received them. They'd never seen them fulfilled. But as far as they were concerned, it would happen. They had the title deed to it. But watch this. They saw them afar off and were persuaded. Now that has to do with an act of the mind. They came to believe what they heard. They were persuaded. They were not in doubt anymore about it. They were not confused about it anymore. They were persuaded. They believed what God said. But wait a minute. And embraced them. They acted like it. Faith is believing what God says and acting like it. So much for Brother Abel, Brother Enoch, Brother Noah. I want us to look at Abraham. I noticed that Abel had one verse donated to him. And Enoch had one verse donated to him. And Noah had one verse donated to him. Ah, but friend, when you come to Abraham, you have verse after verse after verse donated to him. Why? Abraham's the father of the faith. He's our grand patriarch. And faith was never exhibited so clearly and so sincerely as it was in this man, Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Abraham's faith was manifested in three particular areas. His faith was seen. It was manifested in three particular areas. Number one, I want you to get these, leaving home. He was called upon to leave home, and he did. That's in verse number 8. I just read that for you. The second thing, he was called upon to father a son. In verse number 11, it speaks of Sarah, his wife. But it's not just singular Sarah. Through faith also. Isn't it wonderful that husbands and wives can enter into faith and come to know the Lord and serve God as husband and wife? By faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. The third area in which Abraham's faith is manifested, his sacrificing Isaac, his son. In verses 17 through 19, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also we receive him in a figure. So we want to look at Abraham, first of all, as he's called upon to leave Babylon. This is where he lived. Sometimes the scripture calls it Ur of the Chaldees, same place. Abraham was raised in Babylon, and God called him to leave home, leave Babylon, to go somewhere else. Now, to get the background of that, you have to go to the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verse 1. The book of Genesis, chapter 12, verse 1. The tense is very important as you read verse 1. Chapter 12 of Genesis. Now, the Lord had said. That is not the Lord is saying, but it implies that the Lord had previously spoken to Abraham before you get to chapter 12. The Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Now, if he had said it, get out of chapter 12 and back it up into chapter 11 and look at verse 29 and following. Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. The name of Nahor's wife, Milcah. The daughters of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarah was barren and she had no child. Terah, that's Abraham's daddy, took Abram his son and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran. Now, Haran is not in Canaan. Haran is in Assyria. But if you study your Bible atlas and your maps, you find out he had left Babylon and gone northward up to Haran in the northern part of Assyria before going over into Syria and going down into Canaan. And the scripture says in the days of Terah were 205 and Terah died in Haran. Now, by reading those scriptures, God did not call Terah to go anywhere. Terah was the father of Abraham. God called Abraham to move out from his father. Now, he must have talked to his daddy about it because the daddy, being the head of the house, made the decision that he would go along. And not only would he take and accompany Abraham on this trip, but he would take also Lot, his brother's son. Now, his Haran was dead, and of course, Lot was by himself, probably living with Abraham. So the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Now, if you ever really want to do a little bit more study on this, in Acts chapter number 7, verses 1 and following, then said the high priest, are these things so? And Stephen said, men, brethren, and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan. That's the Greek spelling of Haran. He dwelt in Mesopotamia or Babylon before he dwelt in Haran. And God said, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, come to the land, and I will show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein you now dwell. So when Abraham and Terah and Lot and Sarah got to Haran, they stayed there until Daddy Terah died. And when Daddy Terah died, then Abraham and Lot and Sarah left Haran and made their journey south to go into Canaan. Verse number 4, so Abraham of Genesis 12, Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Have you ever thought about the obstacles for Abraham to have to exercise faith when God had spoken to him about leaving Mesopotamia and leaving his father? Number one, he was 70 years old, and God called him to leave home. This is an odd time to be starting out in a new life. Now, if you're 25 or 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, we don't go too fast here. 60, you better start rethinking before you do. If you're 65 or 70, you need to be content just about wherever you are. It's an odd time to be starting out. Would his health be a problem? If he died, would he be buried or die out in the wilderness? How could he support himself? This is an obstacle that he had to overcome if he's going to exercise faith. Number two, he would have to leave the land of his birth. This is where he'd been born. Born and raised. He's going to have to leave it all behind. As a matter of fact, he's going to have to burn the bridges. He won't just be sampling somewhere else, and then if he doesn't like it, he can go back home. This is it. It's terminal. It's finished. He'd be leaving behind all of his relatives and his friends. He had anticipated getting away from Daddy, but Daddy said, no, I'm going with you. But Daddy died in Haran, you see. But the thing is, all of his friends and all of his relatives and all of his in-laws and all of his outlaws, everybody lived in Babylon. Now you got to kiss them all goodbye. And I know what you're thinking. That's good news. Isn't that the best thing you've ever read in all of your life? Get away from his in-laws. Well, whatever it was, he would be separating himself from his religion. You say, well, wasn't Abraham a righteous man? No, he was a heathen. As a matter of fact, Joshua, you don't need to turn to it, but Joshua 24, 2 through 3 tells us that in the household of Terah, his daddy, they served other gods. They came from Babylon. He was born in Babylon. And if God did not intervene, he was going to die in Babylon and go to hell, but God had mercy on Abraham and called for faith. Can you believe me, Abraham? Do you believe I'll do what I say? And by faith, Abraham overcame that obstacle. Now, there are a lot of folk, my dear friends, that never overcome the obstacle of religion. Religion can be your greatest enemy. It was religion that nailed Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary. Those Pharisees that took part in his crucifixion, they believed they were doing God a service by crucifying the Son of God. And there are many people today that go about as though they were singing, give me that old-time religion. It's good for mama and papa. It's good enough for me. My dear friends, your mama and your daddy may have gone to hell believing the old-time religion. Religion is not what we need today, dear ones. We need saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way whereby men can be saved, and that's faith in Christ. Now, if your daddy believes that, praise God for it. And your mama believes that, that's a good thing too. And Paul and Silas, if they believed it, that's a good thing too. But don't just settle back and say, well, I'm a very religious person. You can be religious but lost. Religious but lost. He would be going on sealed orders. Now, where am I going to go, Lord? I'm not going to tell you till you get there. Now, how many of you would take him up on that? Pack up, leave. Don't know where you're going. But you'll find out when you get there. He had to accept that by faith. He was having to trade a certain present for an uncertain future. And yet the text in Hebrews says, by faith. By faith. He went out. Regardless of what the cost was. He believed it. And not only did he believe it, he acted like it. It's a very important point in this message, the faithfulness of Abraham to go out when God called him to do so. Not only that, but my dear friends, we find in verse number 11 that his faith enters into the area of becoming a father. Through faith also, not only Abraham, but faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, obstacles to Sarah's faith. Have you ever thought about it? She was 90 years old. Not only did she not have children, she could not have children. She had never had a child. And yet at age 90, God says, this promise involves your wife. She's going to have a baby, and that baby will be the promised seed through which the Messiah one day would come. You're going to give birth to Isaac. Her old age, her barrenness, and her battle with unbelief. What was the effect of her faith? It said she received strength to conceive. I have seen this over and over and over again. Here's a couple, and they deeply love each other, and they want children, but they cannot have them. And they try to have children, and they try to have children, and nothing comes of it. So they go to an adoption agency, and they adopt a baby. And as soon as they adopt a baby, then the wife expects a child because God gives the strength to conceive. Aren't you glad they didn't practice abortion back then? God gave her the strength to conceive and her consistency of faith. You know, she had to trust God every day for 9 months when the baby would be delivered. Now, anything can happen in 9 months. As a matter of fact, it's quite possible, had this not been in the providential will of God, she could lose a baby. Sometimes that has happened before. But you see, she believed God. The foundation of her faith, the text says she judged him faithful who promised. If God said it, it must be so, and I've got to believe what God says. And the fruit of her faith is the posterity that followed. It happened just as God said. I think it's strange. We always talk about Sarah being the one that laughed. Take a look at Genesis chapter 17, verse 17. Genesis chapter 17, verse number 17. Let me pick up with verse 15. God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. I will bless her. I will give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Now, all this time, Abraham is thinking, is he talking about my wife? This woman, she's 90 years old, and she's going to be able to do all this. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. It's kind of amusing, he thought, what God said. And notice he said in his heart, he didn't say it aloud, but he said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old? So you see, Abraham laughed before his wife did. You go over to chapter number 18 of Genesis. And Abraham and Sarah in verse 11 were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. She could not have children. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Now, in the midst of this doubt, they both began to have faith in God. Now, there's a passage of Scripture that deals with this in the fourth of Romans. And I want to take a moment to turn there and read to you Romans chapter number 4 and pick up a few verses beginning that chapter and go down toward the end of it. Chapter 4 of Romans, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? What did Abraham discover about his flesh? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. In other words, Abraham, if he could get to heaven because of something he did, he'd spend the rest of eternity bragging on what he had accomplished, but not before God. But what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. A man who tries to work for his salvation, God owes him to be saved because he's worked for it. But no, that's not what grace is. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now pick up with verse 19 of Romans chapter 4. And being not weak in faith. Now he was weak in faith when he first started out, but he learned to trust God. He learned to believe God and act like it. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Abraham was 100 years old. He was about 100 years old. And most people that are about 100 years old are 100 years old. Okay? Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And this I love. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Faith doesn't do business with logic. Faith is not a bedfellow with that which is reasonable. Faith deals with that which is humanly impossible. As long as Abraham tried to figure it out, he fell on his face and laughed. I'm 100 years old. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. 100-year-old people just don't do that. It's not logical. But that's not what faith is. Faith is believing what God says and acting like it. So he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving God the glory, and being fully persuaded that he that had promised was able also to perform it. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. He's dealing with the fact that Abraham did not stagger at the promises of God. He believed them, he embraced them, and he by faith received them, and he began to act like it. Abraham was a man of faith. A man of faith. The third thing that he deals with, the area, has to do with fathering a child. No, but with sacrificing that child that he becomes father of. The offering up of Isaac. It is found in Genesis chapter number 22. Genesis chapter number 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And I'll just say this, I won't spend any time on it to speak of. God doesn't tempt. God tries his people. God does not, it cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. There's a difference between trying and tempting. Temptation is a solicitation to do evil. God does not go around trying to get people to do wrong. But God tries his people. He tries his saints. God tried Job. He didn't tempt Job. God tried Abraham. He didn't tempt Abraham. It's a poor translation. It's a trial. God did try Abraham and said unto Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Now listen, folk, just follow with the reading. And God said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I will tell thee of. Now, how are you going to handle that? God does not speak audibly today as he did in Abraham's day and the days of the prophets. But my dear friends, God told Abraham to take this son Isaac and sacrifice him. Now, the acid test, what you going to do? Is he going to say, you know what, I probably misunderstood what God said. Surely he wouldn't have me do that. No, God speaks plainly. You don't have to worry about what God says. The problem is we don't believe what God says. He makes it very clear, makes it very plain. What was Abraham's response? And Abraham rose up early in the morning. Had there been one morning I would have slept late, that would have been my morning. I would have to give more consideration to this thing that God's telling me to do. But Abraham believed if God said it, I believe it, and I'm going to act like it. He rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, while I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. As Abraham and Isaac were making their way up to the top of the mountain, Isaac in verse 7 speaks to Abraham, his father, and he says, my father. And Abraham responds, here I am, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And here comes the faith. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. In his heart of hearts, Abraham knew God told him to offer his son, but he believed in the final analysis that God would provide a lamb to be sacrificed. And of course, verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and behold, behind him in a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead or in the place of his son. Now that's what Hebrews 11:17 says. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, I want you to get the foundation, the very essence of Abraham's faith. It wasn't to offer somebody else's son. It was to offer his son. Now, Abraham's going to have some other sons down along the way. As a matter of fact, he's going to marry Keturah when Sarah dies. And Keturah's going to give him 9 children. But no, these other children won't matter. You offer this one child. You don't mean Isaac. That's the only one you got. You offer Isaac. Wait a minute. Isaac is the promised seed. It is Isaac through whom the Messiah would one day be born and from whom he would come into this world. Lord, if I offer him and he's dead, how can he be the progenitor of the Messiah that's coming one day? Do you see the argument in this? But Abraham knew something, and it is revealed in Hebrews 11:19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Abraham reasoned this: if God wants me to kill him, I'm going to kill him, but I know this, if I kill him, God will raise him up. That's faith. That's faith. From whence also he received him in a figure. Parabole is the Greek word, para meaning alongside of. It's where you take a story and lay it alongside of the truth and see the message in it. What is the message of Abraham offering Isaac? It is a resurrection, not of Isaac, but it's a resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This lamb that God's going to provide will be slain. And ladies and gentlemen, he was slain on the cross of Calvary. But even as Isaac was raised from that picture of death, so Christ will be raised from the dead. And Abraham saw that and accounted that, and he put his faith in that and received him in a figure. By faith, by faith, by faith. So faith is believing what God says and acting like it. Now, how does that affect us in closing this morning? If I read something that God says in His Word, then I believe that it's going to be as God said it. One of the most difficult verses, I think, for many Christians in the Bible is Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. Now, it's one thing to say on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, bless God, I believe that. Woo, man, I've always believed that. It's another thing when every adverse circumstance that could possibly come your way hits you in the face and you're knocked, the breath's knocked out of you. What am I going to do? Faith is believing what God says and acting like it. And you might have to act like it through pain and sickness. You may have to act like it through much sorrow. You may have to act like it when you don't even understand it, but you've got to do this. If you believe what God says and act like it, that qualifies faith. Faith. It's not walking by sight, but it's walking by faith. No wonder Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Because you've got to exercise faith in Christ in order to be saved. And when you exercise faith in Christ, you receive Him as your Lord and as your Master, you act like it changes your life. Faith, by faith, by faith. These all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but they were persuaded of them and embrace them. God help us to learn how to walk by faith and to live by faith and to respond by faith. You can trust the Lord. He'll never fail you and He'll never, never disappoint you. He's always right in everything. Let's have prayer. Father,